So as mentioned, today is on the church calendar what we call Eternity Sunday. Not every church fellowship maybe celebrates that, but here we do. I think it's good and right to honor or remember those who have passed from your fellowship in this last year. And as mentioned, Mrs. Margaret Friesen, who went to be with the Lord on December 1st, 2024. So almost exactly a year. Just graduated right after we celebrated Eternity Sunday last year. And also this last March, Mr. John Waldner, who passed on as well. And so we look to remember, keep those families in prayer, to continue to encourage them as they may still grieve to some level. Always we miss those that have gone on. But we observe Eternity Sunday also because life is truly a precious gift given by God. And this life is but really the beginning, especially for those who believe upon Jesus for salvation. It is the beginning to an everlasting, an abundant life. And so although we comfort one another when our loved ones pass away, we also can be joyful for those who die in Christ are raised in Christ, and so shall we be with them for all eternity in the presence of our Lord if we too believe as well. For the believer born after the resurrection of Jesus, we hold on to that promise that Paul gave in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that is an assured promise. But for those who live prior to the Messiah coming, prior to the cross, they look forward to a Redeemer. And you see that constantly throughout the Old Testament. They're looking for the salvation of the Lord, and they knew that this promise would come. They knew that God would not allow their soul to just be left in the grave, in Sheol, as it's often referred to. Psalm 116, which I'll be reading for a devotion this morning, is a psalm that, obviously, this is written prior to the coming of Christ, and so there is a confident looking forward to a redemption, and that death wasn't the end, but really the beginning for the believer. Psalm 116, and I'll read the entire psalm. Verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. The psalm begins with an affirmation of the greatest commandment, and that is to love the Lord your God. It goes on to describe an intimate love trust relation between petitioner, that is us who are praying to God, and preceptor, the one who gives precepts, God himself. But then it goes on into this reality of this fallen world, that sin is very much abounding, and death is very much a reality. And so sorrow and death is felt by all. But thankfully, as verse 4, he calls upon the Lord. We are reminded always to call upon the Lord to deliver our soul, for he is gracious, he is righteous, he is merciful. willing to preserve and help the lowly, those who ask for his help. And God has promised, for those who ask for his help, he has promised rest. Rest in this life from the torment of sin and sorrow, but also eternal rest with rewards we cannot even begin to fathom. Rest in this life means deliverance from death, from tears, from falling. It is the deliverance from sin, sorrow, and staggering. And rest in eternity means walking before the Lord in the land of the living. And that is truly glory. To walk before the Lord, can't even think of that. Rest in this life not only from our own doing, our own wrongdoing, but also from the afflictions of others, from the liars which seem to be all about us, and maybe we were once of. But what can we do to thank the Lord for all his benefits, the psalmist asks. For those who take the cup of salvation, and that is speaking of that cup that Jesus offered prior to him going to the cross, he said that in this cup was the new covenant in his blood. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, for in doing so one is saved. What can we offer him for such a great salvation, for such a great sacrifice he made on our part? What could we possibly offer him? The psalmist says that they will pay their vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. As Christians, we serve God daily. We are to die to ourselves and serve him, serve others within the household of God, even be willing to serve him unto death of these mortal bodies. As verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You think around this world how many Christians, even today, especially today, in various parts of this world, die sharing the gospel because that's what it costs. But this is not lost on God's. He sees it. He sees that faithful act. And he counts it precious. Not that God desires death. It wasn't part of his original creation. But death of sin. Death entered in when sin entered in. But death was abolished, or sin was abolished, with the death of Christ for those who would come under him. And that is certainly praiseworthy. We know that in the end, as 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of, the final death is death itself. God does away with death. We are servants of God, much more made children through the liberation of bonds of sin. And so we sacrifice with thanksgiving. And as verse 14 says, verse 18 also declares, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Not only do we serve the Lord here on earth in the presence of fellow believers working along each other, but I believe that is also tied to an eternal state where we will be praising God for all eternity in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. The psalmist, of course, had the temple in mind in Jerusalem at that time, but I believe this is also has greater meaning, speaking, because the Bible speaks of a new Jerusalem on a new earth where believers will praise the Lord for all eternity. And so that I hope that is your eternal destiny. Trusting in the Lord. And while given breath on earth, we are given time to serve the Lord in faithful acts, telling others of the eternity that awaits, warning them where sin leads to. And I believe that begins right from the youngest age with children. That's why it's such an important ministry CEF has, telling the gospel in a plain and simple way to children. And we continue to minister to people right up until the day of death. Because it is the desire that God, or that they would know God, know him in a personal way, and long to be a part of his eternity. So may we have eternity on our hearts, especially this day, as we think of those who have passed, but also look forward to that eternal reward that we can be made part of through Jesus as well.